out back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We're talking Giants and Jets on this Black Monday, although for the Giants it is, I don't know, green? What's the, like, what's the, you know, what would be the color to determine keeping somebody? Like, green lights a go? So that's why I came up with green. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, green means money. Yeah. You're paying, we're staying.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, there you go. Well, anyway, Shane and Dable aren't going anywhere.
No, yeah. I don't know if to get more money. I don't think they're getting that extension.
You know.
And by the way, yeah, I mean, are you going to mention this? Because this is, I got to get Hoff involved here. This is something that he wouldn't do either. I mean, quite frankly, I'm just bigger than both of you guys when it comes to this.
What's that?
What did I get you guys for now? You gave me my present before the holidays, and same with Hoff, right?
Yes.
What did I give you guys for Christmas this year? Well, what did I give you last year?
You gave me a Mets jacket.
Okay.
Or give us both the same Mets jacket, yes.
Okay. What did I give you guys this year?
I got a nice LFGM Mets
Zip
hoodie.
Yeah,
nice and, hoodie. And a Macho Man t-shirt that I like, cream of the crop.
Yeah, I knew you loved that one. Yeah. Yes. So I got both you guys the LFGM, let's bleep and go.
Yeah
LFGM Mets hoodie. It looks great.
Okay.
And I also got Hoff a, like the Soto, what did it say, Hoff? The Soto Mets, what is it?
It's like the Queen. Soto, the train line and stuff like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the circular, like it's a subway platform.
Yeah.
Get me that one because you saw that I already got a similar.
Yes, I was going to get you something like that as well. And then I saw the Macho. I'm like, I got to get him this. Yeah. But the thing is, you guys would never get me that about the Yankees.
That's not true.
That just goes to show I'm above you guys.
What are we supposed to get for the Yankees? You want a Bellinger t-shirt?
I think he wants a Soto t-shirt.
You know what I mean, though?
Like, you want a Paul Goldschmidt? He's wearing Rizzo's number.
The tables turned fast. That's actually a good comeback. I didn't think that was going to happen. Gee, I already lose this one. No, the point is that, like, I have moved on.
Yes.
I have congratulated you in the sense, you know, in the form of merchandise. I did it on the air as well. So if you thought my words were hollow, you know, I got the gear to back it up. I don't think you guys would have done that if Soto would have stayed with the Yankees after this contentious back and forth at times Yankee-Mets Soto thing. There's no way you guys would do what I did. I don't think you would have been above it.
I appreciate it very much. You were above it. You took the L. And now I was going to say that you have to take another L.
Is this where we're going now? Come on.
The Perfect Parlay Pick segment has concluded, and a winner has been crowned, and that winner is me. Yeah. So I'm going to take it easy on you and Hoff.
Wait, you going to announce it now?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
You're not going to announce who we are yet.
I was taking a little Twitter.
I saw you throw a little line in the water looking for people.
For those people that don't know, the losers, like Hoff, BT and I were the losers last year. Hoff won. BT came in second. 2 years in a row now you've been second place. I was dead last year.
Yeah.
Hoff was dead last this year, so the losers have to get dressed up in an old-school wrestling costume at the choice of the winners, or the winner. So now I will determine which two wrestlers I want to have you guys dress up as, and then you, BT.
Based on my second order of finish,
correct.
I get to pick which one I want to be.
Yes.
Okay.
We've gotten some good suggestions. Bushwhackers seem to be a popular one.
The Bushwhackers?
Yeah.
I couldn't stand those guys coming out like this, right?
Bushwhackers have been on there.
Who else?
The Red Rooster was one.
Ah, Taylor? Terry Taylor?
He was a cornball. I know you love this old school stuff.
I do.
Who else?
I mean, just watched You Want to Laugh before the Lions game. I actually watched, this is pathetic, like a 5-minute WWE shoot about something. Guess who was on?
Who?
The Red Rooster.
Really?
I swear to God. Anyway, good. What
Akeem.
Else?
Some people were saying, oh, you got to do Goldust. I'm like, again, Goldust?
Goldust again?
Yeah, I was like, no.
No,
dude.
Well, you do have the outfit, and it did look good.
You could make me do a different version of Goldust, a more painful one.
I didn't think of that. Demolition, people
Axe
kept bringing
smash.
Up.
Not some, terrible.
Some people we'll kept bringing up, that. Like, good ones. And I'm like, no, like, I the whole point is for them to not be dressing up in cool gear.
Like, what was a good one? Like, Piper,
like
Hogan,
Road Warriors. Yeah, Road Warriors, exactly.
Hey, how the hell am I going to look like the Road Warrior?
Here's one that I gave.
That's jacked.
Gave some serious thought to Adrian Adonis and Hillbilly Jim. Now, Adonis, I wouldn't do to you because that's.
Lady, please, come on.
You know, you got to have some kind of garb on him. Hillbilly Jim's not a bad one. The overalls, the hat.
I couldn't stand him. I know he was pretty popular. He was another cornball. Uncle Elmer is like his twisted fifth cousin from the back roads.
George,
who the hell knows?
George the Animal Steel. Anyway,
George Steel.
I'm thinking it over. I have a way that I'm leaning. I have a list, much like maybe the Jets will eventually get to with their candidates. I have a list of about five or six that, as of now.
When will you reveal the cut, and when will you reveal the assignments?
What do you think, Hoff? We got to do it this week,
I got to do it this week because I got to figure it out. My wife has one request, though.
What?
Please, like, limit the damage on the chest area.
Yeah, no, we're not going out there naked, man. Like, no, honestly, no, we're not. Well, obviously, you're not going out
there
naked.
Your wife doesn't want you in,
my
like
wife,
a...
Yeah, she doesn't want my chest hanging out.
She doesn't
want
to see him when he gets out of the shower. You think she wants to see him all over social media?
What about a single strap, like an Andre the Giant?
That's not a good look either. The singlet, come on. Not a good look for me.
I mean, look,
but...
you have the choice. You know, if I put Andre out there, you could also pass off with that.
I might have to put a star and cover my other side of the chest, if you know what I mean.
Or you could just get like I'm okay with like a skin toned, you know, shirt on.
We'll figure that out. But I know what Hoff is saying. Like, there's got to be some decorum.
Yeah.
He did the right thing by us a year ago.
Correct. I'll do the same thing.
Come on. The last thing we need is our kids to see in 30 years daddy's belly hanging out.
He's worse than me dressed as a clown. I mean, come on.
No, it's not.
Looking back, I'd rather have my guts sticking out. What was I thinking?
Notice how fast we were given a choice. Hey, do you want to be Gold Dust or the clown? He's the clown.
Yeah. By the way, I hit the parlay again yesterday.
So did you really?
Yeah, two-teamer, but we went head-to-head Saturday night.
I saw the way that game ended, too. First of all, the Steelers absolutely, I don't want to say they got lucky, but I had the Bengals. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm going to start one for one. Yeah. And then once that happened, obviously, I checked out. And I knew I lost. And then I see me getting pulled into the tweets with all the memes of, you know, King Kong Bundy and Elizabeth and all the other stuff that you guys were sending out.
And you still have to make me dress up as the baseball player.
Yeah, but that's not as exciting.
What do you mean? That was the rules.
I'll do it.
Well,
aren't we doing it opening day at the stadium?
Whenever you want. At the stadium I got to dress up?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that was the rule.
It is now, depending upon what I have to do for the wrestling. I mean, what can I do to make you look that bad? Like, all right, you're going to be in a baseball uniform. Big damn deal.
And then
I don't know what I'm going to be. I might have a parrot on my shoulder like Coco Beware. Yeah. Chains around like the junkyard dog. Tongue. Yeah. I mean, come on. It's
George
not
George
Animal
Steel was a lot of...
hairy mess.
I guess he actually did. George Steele, we could do.
Why?
Green tongue.
And the black thing?
Yeah, he had that black ringer shirt. I was thinking he'd have to have the chain. All right, George the Animal Steele back on the table.
His promos were awful. Mm. He was. Did you ever like him? He was weak.
When I first started getting into it was when him and Savage were feuding and
That was with Elizabeth Beauty and the Beast.
George the Animal Steel. All right, BT and Sal, the fan, 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. We're talking Jets. We're talking Giants. Evan is on Long Island about his Jets. What's up, Ev?
Hey, BT. Hey, Sal. Long-time listener.
Thanks, Ev.
Are terrific.
Thank you.
Thanks, bud. What's happening?
I just wanted to get back to the conversation about the Jets. I'm a long-time Jets fan. This year has been another year of disappointment for the Jets. Like you guys said earlier, I really believe the Jets need to bring in a head coach that has tried and true head coach experience, coach with longevity and success in the NFL, who can bring stability to a franchise that is in dire need of stability. They've tried the coordinator turned first-time head coach, whether it's Rob Saleh or Adam Gase, and it just hasn't worked out. So I was thinking the Jets really need someone with offensive-minded experience who can finally draft and develop a franchise quarterback.
Let me jump in for a second. Appreciate the call. The one thing, and I know that you know this, I think you just misspoke. Like, they did bring in Adam Gase. Like, you know, Adam Gase, and I know it was awful, but Adam Gase was a coach before he became the head coach of the Jets. And that's really it, though. Everything else has been of the coordinator variety, going back to Herm, going back to Rex, going back to, Al Groh taking over. Obviously, everybody but Parcells. Mangini was a coordinator. I do think that really matters. I prefer offense, but, you know, do I want somebody like Nagy?
No,
I don't want somebody like Nagy.
I would, if I'm going to go that route, I would go Cliff Kingsbury. Like, if your point...
I agree.
If your point is to specifically get offensive-minded quarterback developer, and that's where you're going to lean, I wouldn't lean that way initially, but if you are going to do that, Kingsbury, to me, would be the guy. By the way, I did not hate, I'll go on right, I mean, I've said it plenty of times, I did not hate the Adam Gase hire. Because of all those things you said, he had experience. He had some success in Miami.
He won 9 games. I think he went to the playoffs year, right?
Well, Ryan Tannehill. So if you like Ripple.
No, but Tannehill got hurt. I don't think he played in a playoff game, Ryan. The backup played. Yes, but he basically got him there, and then Ryan got hurt.
Yeah, so
I didn't think the Gase hire was terrible.
In hindsight, obviously, it was awful, but for many different things.
I didn't think the Gase hire was too terrible.
We were both wrong on that one, but it happens. But the principle to me was better than just drafting a first-time head coach, especially a defensive guy, which it seems they've done too many times. I think in this spot, they don't need a defensive guy. They don't need an offensive guy. They need a real head coach. I think clearly Pete Carroll fits that bill. I know he's not even going to get interviewed out of the billion guys that they're interviewing. It still would be my choice. I think Flores fits that guy as a true head coach. I think there are others out there that would be a true head coach as opposed to where Aaron Glenn I look at as a defensive coordinator still.
But he just comes across as a CEO. Yeah.
Okay.
I like it. What does this mean? Demeanor, posture, presence. I know I'm just kind of trying to interpret, but I like what Aaron Glenn projects.
I get it.
Still in shape. I know, he's not shy. Yeah,
but wasn't that the Sala thing?
Yeah, well, I'm not saying you're hiring Glenn because he looks like he's still run a 4.40, but it doesn't hurt when you still, look the part. And it was the Sala thing, to your point.
I wouldn't be opposed to it if it weren't the current circumstances. Like, I think the Jets need, if you were ranking it in my mind, number one, a true head coach.
Yep.
Pete Carroll, Gruden, whatever.
Flores. He was there 3 years.
Number two, if you're not going to go that way, then I would go Cliff Kingsbury being an offensive guy. And Kingsbury in particular, and I hated the hire for Kingsbury in Arizona, but I like him now because he learned from his mistakes in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a good coordinator. Second opportunity, and you've seen what he did with Jaden Daniels. Like, he's proven to have a good offense.
I know.
So I like that idea of a second-time head coach that learned from his mistakes the initial time and a guy who I expect is going to make the most of the offense.
Well, and the only way that you generally learn from your mistakes is if you take a back seat, do a different job, do TV for a year, just kind of check yourself a little bit and say, okay, I've got to work on this and maybe I messed up here and I've got to grow up there. That's why, the Flores thing to me is appealing in the sense that, number one, I think he's got, I know he's a leader. He's an ass kicker. Number two, I feel like he is just, he's got such a chip on his shoulder.
I love that. I know.
And one of those teams with that chip is in the Jets division. Granted, a team that's going in the wrong direction like Miami, you're still going to have to figure out the Bills at some point. But I just think Flores makes some sense. You brought up Carroll last week. I didn't really think about that. It doesn't seem to be connected to the Jets, but I think that's interesting, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Like, the reason why I brought it up, the only hole you could poke is the age. That's it. If it weren't for the age, if Pete
Carroll
was 10 years even younger,
he'd probably
even
be my first choice. Yeah, I would have beat you to it.
Right.
And the other thing, too, is I haven't seen as many people as they're connected to. Have the Jets even been loosely connected to Gruden? Outside of us saying it.
It's a good point. I have not seen that.
Me neither.
So those are the established guys. But, yeah, I would take a chance on Kingsbury. Eric is in Huntington. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I'm thinking that maybe all these articles and the stuff that came out about Woody recently is a good thing because he's going to try his hardest to maybe change the narrative. So he's going to back off and let whoever comes in do their job. And that might even be good for, let's say, Gruden or somebody who might want a little more control over things than a normal head coach. I think Woody's going to he looks like such a jackass that he's going to want to kind of back off into the shadows and trying to change the narrative. So he's going to let whoever's hired do their thing.
Until he can't help himself, Eric, which is why those impulses and those instincts, thanks for the call, man. It's a good point. But that's why I was saying last week, you've got to get it in the contract. It sounds good. Hey, this is, at the meeting, at the press conference, hey, this is so-and-so's show, and I'm going to duck into the woodwork, and I'm going to let them do their job. Great. What happens the first time there's a real disagreement in the war room over a contract, over something else? If it's not in the contract, it doesn't mean anything.
Right, but how about, I felt like he was going to change a week ago, and then I saw him yesterday, and then I read the quotes in the Post from Costello.
Mm.
I don't think that. He dismissed the entire article. So the idea that he would give any credence, maybe other people in the building gave credence to the article because there were some quotes, and Rossini herself said she believed Woody was going to change because of this. He did not. He denied the whole thing, and then he showed more out-of-touchness yesterday by saying, oh, I don't even care what happened. We won at the end of the day, and that's it. Like, he could still hire a good head coach. I don't think Woody's meddling or ineptitude is going to stop getting in the way eventually. Well, I don't like Woody's learned.
Yeah, but I don't know the answer either. I think it would have been... Yeah, there would have been a better chance that it would have gone away if it was somebody like Mike Vrabel. Like, even the other candidates, like, you know, again, Flores is very interesting to me. But with that lawsuit, does Flores really have the grounds to stand and demand that kind of thing in his contract? Or is he just going to take the job if he's offered the job? I don't know. I know that Mike Vrabel's everybody's number one candidate. So he can demand that if he were to come to the Jets, which he's obviously not because he'll be a Patriot. Let me ask you this. Now, common sense, who do you, back to that Russini article, all right, what we just referenced here, and what Woody refuted in the post there with Kyle, you guys need to read that. Where do you think, just best guess, where do you think some of that stuff came, I want names, where do you think some of that, I'll give you some as well.
Yeah,
where do you think that stuff came from?
I mean, to give you just two.
Give me two.
Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh.
Okay, I agree.
Yeah.
And I said that in real time. I think that Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh were the ones who were direct pipeline for the information, the specificity, I always mess that word, I don't even, the specific Nate Jesus.
Yes!
The specificity, the specific nature, hey.
That was great. Yeah.
The specific nature of the details inside that building to me could have only come from one of two people. Now, I could be wrong, so I'm not saying 100%, but I strongly surmise, let me put it that way to leave the door open a little bit, that it was Saleh and or Joe. Why do you think they would do that? If they did, to make themselves look better, right? Okay, when you try to make yourselves look better, don't you have a tendency to maybe sensationalize
a little bit?
Embellish. So do we really think that every... Now, I'm not saying that there's not dysfunction, and I'm not saying that Woody's not the worst owner in the NFL. Hell, I've been saying that he is the worst owner in the NFL. Do I believe everything in the article? No. Do I think that there's been a sensationalistic tone to it? And I'm not questioning their reporting chops. I'm stopping short of that. But do I think that it was hijacked a little bit and a little whipped cream and a little cherry and some sprinkles were thrown onto the Jets bleep Sunday? I do. Because I think that the two men that gave them the meat of what's going on in the building are pissed off and try to salvage their reputation.
I would also
it's
say
common
that.
Sense.
Oh, yes. But I would also say that there was probably more than just those two sources. And I agree with you that maybe there was slight embellishment. Like maybe the Madden stuff, for example, came up and I don't even want to say jokingly brought up. I think that there was some truth to it, but I don't think that it was the be-all, end-all, or only thing. And I know, well, I shouldn't say no, but I've heard that the kids have had influence. So Woody can deny it and say, well, Brick or whatever doesn't make any choices. I'm sure he doesn't. I'm sure he's not getting paid. Well, I shouldn't say that, but he's not like on the staff the way that maybe the Mara family has family members on the staff that are getting paid to make football decisions or whatever. I don't know if that's the case, but I do think that he's had some influence, whether it's going based off of social media or Madden rating, whatever. I do think the kids have had their voice heard.
Speaking of Madden, quick question. You ever play video games with Joey? You probably do, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Is there such a thing as like a dumbed down Madden controller? I can't figure it out.
I can't do the new ones. I go back to the old days, man.
I can't figure it out.
There were three buttons, Sega Gen, or even PlayStation with the four buttons, which took me a while to learn that.
Let me jump. Give me a little speed burst. Let me pass. Let me hit the arrow. This guy, that guy. Like, we were playing between Madden and between the NBA game, 2K. Yeah. These games are sick, dude. Like, I'm playing an 80s team with Isaiah and Larry and Magic and Dominique and Jordan and Carmelo and then Stockton. And I want to learn how to play. I can't.
Yeah, it's too.
I don't know how to figure it out. So I wind up taking stupid shots and I lose 52-16.
Yeah, and Colt enjoys every second.
Oh, he just rubs it in my face. I want to figure. So, Hoff, you got little guys.
Ruff, you've been getting beat at work and then at home.
Take it easy. Is there.
Perfect parlay and then you take it on the chin.
You're not wrong, dude. Took the collar. Is there a, like, I don't know, like a. a dumbed down Madden joystick? I just without 9,000 buttons?
Not that I know of. I mean, unless you're going to go like Nintendo style.
Yeah, go back to old school.
I don't mean changing the game, which I would.
Take him to your house.
He's not going to. Oh, I'll wax him.
We'll play some Nintendo. We'll play some Sega Genesis.
How do you like that?
Yeah. This is Daddy's game.
He's going to be bored, though.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, let's play Frogger. Hey, Dad, let's play Pitfall. You know?
BT and Sal, the fan. Warrior Calls.
Let's play Donkey Kong.
Yeah, Warrior Calls. We come back. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal back on the fan. 888-808-1019. The number to call. We've been talking Jets and Giants all day long on this Black Monday, where normally a head coach is getting fired all over the place. You've already seen some change taking place. Robert Kraft, I guess, was just speaking a little while ago, BT, talking about firing Gerard Mayo, saying he feels guilty. You put him in that situation, but they're moving on. I mean, that is a tough call. Also called it the toughest decision that he's ever had to make before. That is very hard to do. I feel bad for Mayo.
Yeah,
I do too. Like, what'd you expect? You put him in this spot. It's year one. Rookie quarterback, you're taking over after Belichick. Like, but clearly it's not just about the results. It's about what they saw behind the scenes, the way that maybe things were handled that they thought, we don't have the right guy.
Well, it's interesting, too, because think about how we frame a potential Giants season next year. Like, what if the Giants have a bad record, which I think most of us think, at least now, they probably will. But if they get their hands on a quarterback and the quarterback shows some real signs like Drake May did, wouldn't that be enough to probably satisfy Giant fans and ownership to kick it down the road another year with the current regime? Like, I you know what I mean? Like, and that's what happened up in New England.
I think
Drake May was very good. They lost a lot of games, but he's gone.
Well, right.
That's
exactly right. They found the quarterback.
Yeah.
They looked. They had some promise, and yet they still fired the head coach, which shows you that. They made a big mistake hiring him for whatever reason. I don't know. We're not in the room. We can't figure that stuff out. I would say the two things that are imperative for this Giants regime next year is, one, a quarterback with promise. Two, an identity. It'd be ideal if the identity was the offense with Dable and this whoever this quarterback is showing that, oh my God, we actually can score touchdowns. Look, it's not that hard, just like everybody else in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's defensively, but you see the signs of a quarterback in place, but their identity is defensively, they need to have at least something to say, this is our identity, this is where we could build from moving forward. Plus the idea of having a franchise quarterback.
The problem is, Vulture's going to be out from snap one. Snap one?
They already were this year.
Oh, I know. And they go into next season looking to pounce. Because we've taken, what, 30 Giant calls here today? Maybe more? I mean, not that this really reflects everything. You never really know. But I think the one person was like, I'm fine with them coming back. This is not... Now, you don't make decisions based on what you think that the consumer's necessarily going to think. Otherwise, you'll be one of them, the old saying goes. But I don't really know any Giant fans who are enthused about this.
Well, how about what Mr. Mara said himself? I better not be standing here again at the end of this year, or at the end of next year, saying the same thing. He basically said it without saying it. They got to win or else changes are going to be made.
Mm-hmm.
So forget what the fans think, what you and I think. It doesn't matter. It matters what the owner thinks. And he's putting, again, the organization in a bad spot with needing a quarter, basically demanding they take a quarterback or figure out a way to find a quarterback, whether it's draft, free agency, or trade. Get your quarterback and win next year or else.
Yeah, and are they going to hire, fire? Well, I don't want to put you in that spot. You're part of the Giants broadcast team. But you think they fire their DC?
I don't know what they're going to. I mean, I would assume.
I'm saying if they do, right?
Yeah.
What defensive coordinator worth the grain of salt, at least on paper, is coming to this job with a lame duck coach?
Well, right. And again, we went over this before where they take the play calling away from Kafka, they give it to Dable. Now they're talking about maybe giving it back to an offensive coach.
Yeah.
And maybe a new defensive coordinator again.
A lot of passing in the buck. I mean, to me, there's a coach and there's a GM, and there's only so many times you can kind of reassign or redistribute the blame and/or decision making.
John is on Staten Island. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How are you?
Hey, good. John.
I have a theory on the Giants. It's a little weird. I just want to hear your opinion. I think a big reason Shane and Dable were retained is because of what happened 5 years ago when they first hired Dable. If you recall,
it wasn't
Brian
five.
Flores
not
five. Did an
not
interview.
Five. Not five.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brian Dable was hired. Flores had an interview. But Belichick texted Flores, congrats on the job, the wrong Brian.
Yes.
That's the whole lawsuit. So it will be very difficult for them to fire Dable and then go through the Rooney Rule thing. And believe me, I think the Mara family and the Tisch family are honorable men. I'm not saying anything, but I just think it would have brought bad press. And then the second thing I would say is that I think... Oh, go ahead.
I'm just saying that doesn't make any sense, though. What do you mean it would bring bad press? They would go...
If
they fired Shane and Dable, they would hire... they would interview all the candidates, Rooney Rule or not, whatever.
I know, Sal.
Yeah.
Sal. But if they... Let's say they interview Aaron Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Flores would never take an interview again.
Okay.
Let's say then he doesn't get the job. Look what Prime just said about Lewis Riddick. He's already out there saying, hey, listen, if you interview him, you better do it for the right reason.
Yeah, but who is Prime? Yes, I understand that, John, but that has no bearing, and thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in. That it shouldn't have any bearing on what decision the Giants make. And because Deion Sanders said Lewis Riddick better get hired and not just be a Rooney Rule interview. Like, so what does that matter, what Deion says?
Well, it shouldn't matter at all. Yeah. Not for the Giants, no. No.
For anybody. Not well, he said it for the Jets at that particular point, but it shouldn't matter for anybody.
Yeah, perfect. Mike, I think that the Rooney Rule is very complicated. The spirit of the rule is born out of a great thing. All right, it's to level the playing field. The problem with the Rooney Rule is that, you know, he just got a lot of teams. I'm not saying the Giants are doing this. I'm not saying the Jets are doing this. But there's a lot of teams out there. Let's check the box. Brought him in. Got the minority candidate check. Okay, we're good. We're good with the NFL. With no intentions of hiring him. And if you're a minority candidate and you go through the process and you prepare yourself for this rigorous interview and you feel like it's a sham, you know, it's tough. Now, I remember talking to Willie Randolph about this years ago. Mm-hmm. Remember when Willie was getting like a sniff from the Pirates and the Reds?
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much a Rooney Rule thing in Major League Baseball. It was just a reluctance to hire an African-American manager at that point. And I really thought that Willie was getting disrespected. And, you know, but I remember him saying it, and others have said this too. Hey, all right, even if it's true, you know, for me not to do the interview, it's a disservice. Because if I go there, even if they have no intention to hire me, if I put my best foot forward and I show out and I map out my vision for the entire franchise, and the guy in the room who was maybe third or fourth in command in 3 years, if he's eventually first in command and I'm back in a room with a different team, then it will help me that he saw me do what I did 3-4 years ago, even if I wasn't hired. You know what I mean? So there's value in doing it, but I understand why some of the minority candidates, they must be rolling their eyes like, here we go.
Well, but I don't know if it's a minority thing versus white thing. I think that certain teams, for example, Kraft in New England, we all know who he wants to hire. But he wants to hire Vrabel. It's not because Vrabel's white. It's because he wants to hire Vrabel. But because of the Rooney Rule, he's going to go through the interview process and bring in everybody, not just Rooney Rule candidates or minority candidates. He's going to bring in everybody and go through the process. At the end of it, we all know he's going to hire Mike Vrabel. So that, to me, is a predetermined thing based on he's allowed to hire who he wants
to hire. And by the way, he owns the team. I don't have a problem with that.
Right, but the problem is that too many times these rich white owners wouldn't consider...
Oh, I agree.
Right, so Brian Flores, for example, he's going to get interviews, maybe because of the Rooney Rule, but the goal should be exactly what Willie said. I'm going in there like that's my job, and I'm going to interview and blow their doors off to give them no choice but to hire me. That would be the goal. And then you hope that an owner says, holy crap, this guy, I know I thought that this other guy was going to be good, but this guy was way better, and I'm hiring him regardless of color. It shouldn't come down to that.
No, I agree. It should be a meritocracy. I think most of us think this way. Not everybody does still, but I can only think for myself and control what I think and whatever. The other problem, too, and this often gets glossed over, if not overlooked way too often, and you talk about the minority candidate, generally, and the numbers back this up, the coordinators from an offensive and a defensive perspective, there's a lot more over the years. There's been far more minority defensive coordinators than there have been offensive coordinators, right? I mean, that's statistically statistically provable. Now, think about this. What's the most recent trend in the NFL? Let me go out there and get the offensive guy. But if there's not a lot of minority offensive coordinators, where is the pipeline for that guy to become a head coach?
And that's because
it's diminished.
But that's also because of years.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. Years, going back years.
Well, I'm saying, though, like, maybe not having as many minority quarterbacks, let's say.
Years ago. Versus maybe the linebacker or...
Like, Cliff Kingsbury was a quarterback.
He played for the Jets for a minute.
Whatever. He was with whatever it may be. Maybe somebody who could now be, like, now there are a lot more minority quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe 10, 15 years, you start to see more.
I do think it'll change. Yeah. Well, I mean, I always work under the notion it doesn't change until the changes.
Yeah.
And I'm always about merit-based stuff, but there's like this is real. I mean, there's a lot of reasons as to why we're here.
And just to finish up the caller's point, I don't want him to think that it got lost on us. I know what he's talking about with the lawsuit where Belichick texted Brian Flores mistakenly thinking it was Dable.
Yes.
Hey, Brian, I heard you get the Giants job. So I know the messiness that created for the Giants without even having anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
They made their decision to hire Brian Dable. But yet the lawsuit with Flores thinking he was getting the job. So I get what the caller was trying to talk about. I don't think that would have any...
No, because Brian Dable hasn't won enough. I mean, at the end of the day, they were awful this year. They were pretty much unwatchable. Right. So I don't know anybody that would get to the top of the mountain and scream with any sort of, you know, realness, Brian Dable got hosed if the Giants did fire him, which they obviously are not.
Or I guess he was saying, like, well, Brian Flores wouldn't come in for an interview. Okay, fine, but that's... one minority potential candidate
that
the Giants already passed up. So why would they even bring him in to begin with if they didn't think he was good enough a couple years ago? BT and Sal on the Fan. When we come back, we'll hear from Brian Dable. He addressed the media today, knowing that he's going to be here at least for another season. We'll hear what Dable had to say when we come back.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Find the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Jason is in North Bergen. What's up, Jason?
Look, I agree with you guys. I agree with you guys. But I don't know what the right answer is for Dane and Chabel.
Yeah.
Dane and Chabel. Dable and Shane.
Yep.
But I know that they hit last year on 5 picks. If they can hit on 3 this year, then that puts the team in a little bit of better position.
Justin is in Morris Township. What's up, Justin?
I am a lifelong Giants fan. I am really on the verge with this. I mean, this has put me towards the end. I don't know how they can sit here and say that they don't care how bad the team is. I mean, let me just put it in perspective. They took over. The team was a 4-win team with 4 good players. 3 years later, they are a 3-win team with 4 good players.
That's a good way to say it. And there you have it. That's been the theme of the day. Giants deciding to keep Shane and Dable for at least another year. It's basically get a quarterback, win, or else. From that perspective, in case you missed anything, check out on the free Odyssey app. We've also mentioned plenty of Jets stuff. And just to button that up, BT, the Jets will interview. They have interviewed Vrabel and Ron Rivera. Up next, Rex Ryan, Brian Flores, Josh McCown, Joe Brady, Matt Nagy,
jeez,
Arthur Smith, Brian Greasy, Aaron Glenn, Vance Joseph, Bobby Slowick.
I mean, that is ridiculous.
Oh, one more, too. Joe Benengo.
Yeah, we get Joe in there. Yeah. Steve Gelbs throwing the bone.
Not bad. Yeah, not bad.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's the Liz Schefter tweeted out.
Hit that again, but give a quick pause after each name.
Vrabel.
Obviously the man.
Rivera.
Not interested.
Rex.
Not interested.
Flores.
Yes.
McCown.
I guess I'll have the interview.
Brady. Joe Brady.
I mean, different circumstances would be very interested. Somewhat interested.
Matt Nagy.
Not interested.
Now, the key with those three guys, McCown, obviously former quarterback, Brady, Nagy, both offensive guys, Arthur Smith.
Not interested.
I think you're sleeping on Arthur Smith a little bit.
No way.
Let me just read. I know why he would not be appealing as a hire. It does not mean that he wouldn't be a good head coach, especially a second go-around.
Well, I don't think he was good last, but I don't want him.
I think he's better than the knucklehead that they hired in Atlanta now with Raheem Morris. Raheem Morris can't coach his way out of a paper bag. Guy takes 2 timeouts into overtime again. What are you doing with the timeouts in overtime? Use them. Good God. These coaches are not a coach.
Who else is on the list there?
I'm sorry. Brian Greasy.
As the head coach?
I think he was the quarterback's coach for San Francisco. Yeah,
I'm
as the head
pass
coach.
On that.
Aaron Glenn.
Interested.
Vance Joseph.
No.
Bobby Slowick.
Intriguing.
You know, it's like no Carroll on here, no Kingsbury
no
on
Gruden?
Here, no Gruden on here.
Yeah, I know.
If you go by this list, I think you and I agree who we want.
Mm-hmm.
It's Flores.
Yeah, it is.
Based off of this list, I don't even think it's really close. All right, BT and Sal and Fan. Now, let's hear from Brian Dable. Hoff has some cuts. Dable met the media just a little while ago talking about his new lease on life here with the Giants.
As the season wound down, how What were your feelings about what was going to happen next year with you? And, you know, when did you finally get that notification that you were going to be back?
Yeah, like I said, I've been in constant communication with ownership, heard this morning. Thankful for the opportunity. Got a lot of work to do. Obviously, 3-14, not good enough.
All right, you get...
John, he talked about the defense not being good enough. Have you made any staff changes?
Yeah, I haven't made any staff changes. I just say everything wasn't good enough. So, you know, when you only win three games, there's a lot of things that need to be improved. And, again, it's only the day after the last game, so we'll get started on that process.
Are you considering staff changes? Are you considering it?
Look, we just got done. We just got done with meeting with the players. I'll sit down with all the coaches, and we'll make the best decisions we can for the football team.
So you're not moving anything out. Say that, but you... By this point last year, you had already moved on from Thomas McGahee and Bobby Johnson. So it's not crazy that you would have already thought about making staff changes.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it in terms of, you know, I got a lot of confidence in the guys that have, you know, put the time and effort and energy in. The results were terrible. But we're moving forward here and we'll do everything we can do to improve it.
Just sounds beaten down.
Is that it or we got more? Two more? Okay, good.
Have you thought about not calling plays next year?
Yeah, I brought that up. I brought that up to him in a meeting. Again, there's no decision that's been made. We'll sit back and take a look at everything and do what we need to do.
And?
That you were found out today that you're coming back for next year, but there's obviously no commitment beyond that, beyond the year. Does that make you more willing or more likely to pursue a veteran quarterback than a rookie quarterback who you will have to obviously develop?
Yeah, I'd say we'll pursue anything we think can make us better. NFL is usually a one-year deal anyway, so we'll do everything we can do to be much better than we were this year.
That's a tough listen. That is a boring listen. I'm not saying he's got to, you know, entertain us and put on the clown suit, but I mean... You know, and I heard him yesterday. I was in the car coming back from something real quick, and I heard him, our buddy Casillas, of course, who's great. Shout out to him. And I heard his post-game press conference. And I get it. The reporters wanted to turn it into a post-end-of-the-year press conference, and Brian was kind of trying to treat it, which I also understand his perspective, more, hey, we just lost the Eagles, let me deal with this, to the Eagles, let me deal with this, rather than the macro version, which we'll get to when I speak with ownership here. He just sounds... He sounds beaten.
Well, think about all the stuff that's already happened here. After the first year, like year one, everything was going in accordance to plan, actually exceeding the plan as far as the results went, making it to the postseason. Nobody really believed that they were going to be that team moving forward, but we did think that they could take steps forward and maybe close the gap a little bit. A second year with Daniel Jones, making the offense a little bit better, stay healthy, whatever it may be, and it fell off. And then you're talking about, okay, well now... Dable's taking over play calling as he takes the reins from Kafka. They was talking about, you know, what's going on the headsets. Is Dable too hard on his coaches? Obviously, Wink, Martindale, and all the stuff that went out with that. So he took over play calling, fired the coordinator, brought in a new defensive coordinator in Bowen. Other coaching changes were made, and then they got worse.
Yeah.
So this has been a convoluted mess, and now they're talking about going backwards where Dable may give up the play calling now. Like, I don't know how you can have this sloppy of a mess and expect to clean it up next year. Generally, these things go the way that we expect it, where it's just going to, the wheels are going to fall off and it's going to be over. There hasn't been a smooth ascension since these two, Shane and Dable, have taken over.
I know the optics would matter. There could be multiple types of 5-12s, but if the Giants go 5-12 next year, are these guys back?
I do think it matters largely on what the quarterback situation is. Yeah. If it's a young quarterback, let's just say Shedeur Sanders, and he's looking good and is energizing the fan base, and they're in some tight games, I don't think the win-loss record matters as much. But ultimately, even if you take that in for account, I'm not sure that they would be back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just worried that the motivation this offseason is going to be to fix this for 2025, when that might not be the best big-picture solution.
Bottom line is this. We could sit there and talk about the schedule or where we think the Giants are at. They better be competitive at the highest of levels. Like, no more, oh, it's okay if you get bludgeoned by the Eagles in games that matter by 20-plus points anymore. Mm. No more being second fiddle to Washington, you know, this year, whatever, or even Dallas for that matter. Who knows what they're going to do. But Dallas still has been better than the Giants, even with them coming down a little bit. Like, the Giants are going to be expected to win and compete next year, and there shouldn't be any excuses. It's year four now. So I don't care if it's year one of a quarterback. It doesn't matter. We've seen how come Denver could take a rookie quarterback and get to the postseason. Like, it happens. It shouldn't be this curve of, okay, well, whatever quarterback they have, it's going to take a while. Nonsense. They have to figure it out. I think that's what Mara's basically saying, and they really should. Now, I don't think it's going to happen, but that's where we should be at in year four. No more excuses. Go compete at the highest of levels in the NFC for one of the seven playoff spots.
I think you're going to disagree with this, and I'm gonna wrap it up with a Jets and Giants simultaneous take here. I really haven't thought this, and I certainly have said it less than I thought it on the air. I feel like right now, just today, forget about the history, I think the Jets' plan is better than the Giants'. I think and I know as soon as you hear the Jets' plan's better, it makes sense. You can reach for the Woody stuff, and Woody's got to prove that he's going to change, and we'll see. But, like, they are very buttoned up in, you know, it's a very extensive list with diverse backgrounds. I don't just mean race, but I mean offense and previous head coaches and ascending coordinators. Like, it seems like it's a well-structured, smartly compiled list of potential candidates, and the Giants woke up today, and they were like, let's bring him back.
Yeah, from that perspective, I mean, I need to see who they hire. But yeah, I like the search. I mean, outside of Rex, I like the search for the Jets. But if they hired Rex, for example, then what you just said...
They're not hiring Rex.
No, but I'm just... But you would agree that if they did, then everything that you just said...
Yes, I would. If with that list of about 11 or 12 names, if they walk away with Rex Ryan, then it is hopeless.
And by the way, that list is... It's good, but it's...
I think it's pretty good.
It still could even be better.
I think... It could be like, with what? Like three with Gruden?
Three of my top four, Carroll, Gruden, Kingsbury, aren't even on the list.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, look, realistically, Kingsbury...
But I don't think Pete's on anybody's list. Yeah, maybe he just doesn't want to coach.
It doesn't mean that's right. And Kingsbury, to be fair, probably, I would think, would be destined for Chicago. Or at least maybe that would be his top
Caleb.
Choice. Yeah, with Caleb.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, point is, yeah, I could see why you would say that.
Just feels that way early.
Well, even if you take the Jets' plan, whatever that is, out of it, the Giants' plan is not a good one. To have lame duck general manager, head coach, forcing a quarterback on them with a roster that is not very good.
No, it's not. It's the worst possible plan.
And expecting to win next year.
It's a dangerous game. But they're back, and we wish them well, and we hope that they change the narrative, which is...
Desperately hope that they change the narrative. Even if it's for a one-off, I don't care. Just give us a good football season next year, please.
Yeah, be nice.
They'll be back. Shane and Dable will be back tomorrow.
Our Super Bowl's upon us, Sal.
Yeah,
Jets and the Giants.
Jets
off-season stuff.
Right, Giants draft and quarterback. Where are they getting one? And what are the Jets going to do for a general manager, head coach combination? All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hop. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Back at it tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Stay safe with that snow out there. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.